Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. Hello, geeks. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, the better software company, and the 2019 IFE. Be a part of the event franchisors call completely different from any other show. The International Franchise Expo has been connecting franchise brands with prospective franchisees, master licensees, and multi-unit owners for over 25 years. Meet qualified attendees not only from the tri-state area, but from every state and over 80 countries who are serious about opening a franchise. Visit ifeinfo.com or email info@ifeinfo.com, and we look forward to seeing all of you at the IFE May 30th through June 1st at the Javits Center in New York City. All right, today we're talking about my two favorite subjects, marketing and franchising, with Matt Friedman. Matt is the CEO and co-founder of WingZone, now with nearly 100 locations across the globe, and he joins us right now on Social Geek Radio. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much, Jack. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, we're glad to have you. And before we dive too deep into the world of marketing and franchising, tell us a little bit about your background. What's your story?
Well, I think we have a wonderful story, and it's truly entrepreneurial. The crazy thing is, this is the only career I've ever done. So that can be beneficial, and it's just been exciting for us at WingZone. So college graduate, started WingZone in my senior year of college in Gainesville, Florida, and really for a customer-demanded product in amazing wings for delivery throughout our campus. And over the course of the last 25 years, we have expanded into many states and even into international countries. So I am a true entrepreneur and still have a key role in the leadership and growth of WingZone.
So you actually started this on your college campus making wings.
We did. Even to dive a little further, we started in our fraternity house kitchen in 1993. So they had everything kind of set up in there. It was the perfect testing ground for us.
Yeah.
And I love to tell the story how we started with a $500 investment and something that's turned into annual revenues north of $50 million now.
500 bucks in a college fraternity kitchen. Wow. That's
that is correct.
You knew your market, though. You knew your customers. You had a lot of hungry customers probably real close by.
We did know our customers, and we continue to know our customers. You know, WingZone's a niche business. We understand our customer base, the markets where we typically succeed highest in. And being that target customer back in the day was very helpful.
Yeah, you were the target customer, or your brothers and roommates and you know, fellow students were your target customer. And is that where you kind of developed this real passion for marketing and getting to know the customer and reaching out to them in the right way?
You know, my major in college with a business degree was in marketing. And it's just been a passion of mine, and I've been able to really live that passion at WingZone every day. Obviously, things have changed. We started in a world of hanging flyers on doors, and now it's moved into so many different things. We were really experts in even database marketing and direct mail and things like that, but things have changed a lot. I think an interesting thing to just mention to some of the listeners is that we really owned a category that is now just catching up, and that's delivery. You know, from day one in 1993, we were a delivery concept. And when you do that, you need to understand how to market to your target customer.
Yeah, that's so true. In 1993, pretty much if you wanted food delivered, it was pizza.
And that's it.
And maybe in some cities, maybe some Chinese food or maybe some other specialty stuff. But for the most part, especially around a college campus, it's all pizza at that point, right?
It was. In fact, our business model was really driven to be the alternative to pizza delivery. And our menu consisted of wings and chicken tenders and French fries and some soft drinks. It was a simple menu that really catered to people that wanted something different than pizza. And it's honestly still that way today.
Though now you've been kind of out in front of this generational shift of food delivery. You know, like you said, 25 years ago, there's no way you could get French fries or wings delivered in most places. But now there are concepts that are just all delivery, and no one even goes to a restaurant in some places anymore. Is that still a big part of what you guys are doing? And is that a big part of your marketing, that it's part of this, you know, getting great food at home sort of wave that we're seeing?
You know, we've lived it for 25 years. We've always said that other than having great food and an excellent guest experience, we deliver convenience. We offer convenience. So our business model really hasn't changed. We focus heavily on takeout and delivery. Although wings on restaurants have seats, it represents fewer than 10% of our overall revenue. So, you know, what's happening right now is that delivery has kind of had a surge.
Yeah.
And so many restaurants are getting into it, but there's tremendous challenges with it. And I think we've lived those challenges of, do you handle delivery internally? Do you outsource it? What is your packaging like? How do you transport the product from your restaurant to the customer's door? And with that, and I know we're going to talk about marketing, is really, how do you market to those people that don't typically go to their mailbox very often? You know, that they don't like you hanging something on their door. And it's really been an evolution of kind of the shift in paradigm in the marketing to your customer base.
So let's talk about that right now as far as what's working. Have you seen a big shift in the past couple of years? Is it more social media? Is it more website marketing? What's really working for you right now?
Well, first of all, I think there's a few things that I think are important. Loyalty is a huge thing. And I think it started with you know, the airline industry or hotels, where people want points. So about 4 years ago, we created kind of our own app, but more importantly, what we call Wings Own Rewards, which really rewards guests for frequency of order. So that's been a huge play, where every time they order, they're getting points. Those points are redeemed for free product. And that is something that is absolutely expected. The other thing that we've seen is that email marketing has been around for many years, and you know, the open rates aren't spectacular and the click-through rates are even less. And I think that text is really the future there. And so we've really spent a lot of time, money, and energy into a very robust text platform. Our guests can really sign up via our website, in-store via a very simple tablet, and even when they order from their app. And so we market to people on a weekly basis. We have north of 200,000 people in our text database. And so we're sending them specials, specific offers, and having an easy opt-in and opt-out is very important, which I think is very critical.
Yeah, those people are current customers or former customers, is that correct? Or are you reaching out to brand new people through this program too?
So in the marketing side of things, I like to use the term acquisition and retention. So okay. Acquisition is you're casting this net over people and trying to attract people to what you offer or your business. Retention is really bringing them back and keeping them engaged. So the text is really driven around retention. So it's really intended to reward loyalty, engagement on a consistent basis without being too intrusive. But there's many other factors that go into acquisition. You know, I really believe at times social media and Google remarketing and things like that are really about acquisition and getting people into your brand. I mean, WingZone is a unique concept. We have 17 flavors of great wings. We do them in a variety of ways. We do chicken tenders and burgers. But at the end of the day, once we capture a guest into our business, one of our core focuses is how do we keep them coming back? And so I think from a lot of listeners and a lot of people that are trying to understand marketing is you've got to have this balance between retaining current people and bringing someone in. My personal take is if you had to choose one, you need to focus on retaining your people rather than continuing to bring new people in. But there is a balance.
Right. And it's got to be more efficient to focus on retaining those customers who are already fans and making sure that they're going to come back before you go out and start hunting for new potential customers, right?
I think one of the most important things for people to realize is really understanding your acquisition cost. And it can be pretty staggering. I'll use an example. If we spent $1,000 on some sort of marketing investment, some tactic, it could be social, it could be print, it could be anything, and we got 50 people to come in and place an order, which would be a pretty good number, that would be about a 5% response. Well, if you look at the acquisition cost, that's $20. So I just spent $20 in marketing and advertising for someone to come into or order from WingZone. And what we have found is we can market so much more efficiently and a lower cost into our current database, whether they're coming more often or whether we're keeping them. So understanding your acquisition cost is very important.
You talked a little bit when we spoke last week about really having a passion for menu innovation as well. Is that what you're talking about with all of the flavors that you're doing? And how do you market all of that stuff and all of those flavors and new things that you're doing on the menu?
I think anyone in the restaurant segment today has to focus on menu innovation. And I think you have to understand that there is a changing base out there. You've got vegans, you've got vegetarians, you've got different people that love spice and not spice. As I look back and looked at WingZone's beginning, it was so simple. We had two flavors of wings. We sold them one way.
Two flavors. Was it like spicy and not spicy? Or
yeah,
what were your two?
It was mild and hot.
Mild and hot. Love it.
Mild and hot. How do you want it? And now I think, as I look, I'm staring at one of our newer menus. And what's so crazy is we now have four varieties of wings. And let me just explain this for a second. We have traditional, which we call original wings, which is what people are most accustomed to.
Yeah.
We do boneless wings, which is really a chicken breast chunk. We also do a zesty breaded wing. And now we're doing a char-grilled wing. So we're taking the core product and doing different things to it. And just for your listeners, we are testing a new product called a thigh wing. And a thigh wing is a thigh, which is a piece of chicken, which is dark meat. And we've made it kind of look like a wing, but it has a different taste and is really spectacular. So when we talk about menu innovation or anyone else does, it's got to fit your concept. So, I mean, we've rolled out some vegetarian options for people, whether it's a triple grilled cheese or a black bean burger. So for some people, maybe they think that it gets a little bit overdone of so many choices. But I think that you could sit in a residence hall on a campus and you could have four different taste profiles. You know, one's a wing eater, one wants a burger, one's a vegetarian, one wants something healthy. And I think it's very important that you have a menu that can handle multiple people.
Yeah, because for the most part, your customers are probably not ordering for one. Is that correct?
That is very correct. I mean, you can take an office environment. You can take a party at someone's house. You could take a family of four. Because of the business we're in, which is really takeout, delivery, or convenience, We have an average, we have a high average check of over $20. So it's multiple people ordering at one time. And the diversity of our menu is very interesting. You know, if you look at the resurgence of like chicken tenders or boneless wings or not bone-in chicken, that has had a huge growth for us.
Let's talk a little bit about the franchising part of your business. How long have you been franchising now?
So we started franchising domestically in 2000. We also started franchising internationally in 2010. So we're coming up on 20 years in franchising, 10 in international franchising. And I love the franchise model. I tell my 17-year-old son that if he ever wants to get into a business, and it doesn't have to be a restaurant business, it could be any business, buying a franchise really is a smart business decision. You're taking all the mistakes that have made before you, a
right.
proven business model, and ultimately you're your own boss and your own entrepreneur, but your probability of success is so much greater. Now, what's happened in franchising, which I think is interesting, is the choices are endless right now. You know, you can look at restaurants or service or other things. So there's been tremendous competition within the franchise arena, but I think for us, we've stayed true to kind of the brand, the footprint. Yeah, the menu has expanded. But I think it's very important for when people are looking at franchising or franchise opportunities is that they find one that fits their lifestyle, personality, and passion.
And if you find that person, they're going to be more successful than someone who's just stumbled onto the latest thing or you know, got a big idea that, hey, I want to get into the restaurant business. So how do you find those great candidates, people who really fit your culture and fit your brand?
I believe that you should put that first and foremost on your franchise websites. And there's nothing wrong with having it out there. We're looking for this type of person.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's an owner operator or absentee owner or certain net worth or certain personalities. We like to say that our franchisees need to be the mayor of the village. Hey, there's the wing guy. There's the wing zone, you know, franchisee. And so we believe because we're a smaller franchise system of less than 100 restaurants that we don't have unlimited marketing budgets. We've got to be smart with what we're doing socially, online reviews, local store marketing and events. So if our franchisees just believe that they're going to turn the key to the door, like some bigger systems, and people are just going to flock in or call or order online, that's not what really works for us. So, you know, I'm still old school in the fact that I believe that local store marketing, community involvement, sponsorships are really critical. I believe our best marketing is our food. So we give away, you know, thousands of dollars over the course of a year in just free food or giveaways and some of those things as well, because we are in the restaurant business. And for us, the food is what is going to bring people back.
I love that idea of making the franchisee the mayor of the town, right? The wing person of that town. I think that really fits with your brand and your culture, and it's also perfect for franchising. So I love that concept. You and I are going to talk a little bit more about this, as a matter of fact, when it comes to marketing your franchise and local marketing for your franchisees. Coming up next month in Atlanta, it's the Franchise Marketing Leadership Conference, June 18th through the 20th. And Matt, you and I are going to be on a social media panel together there. I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. And I think what we're going to do is share some real honesty about, you know, what franchisees are great at, what they're not doing. But really from a franchisor perspective, and I've believed this from day one, is that you've got to provide franchisees with the support and sometimes the know-how and doing it for them in a multitude of ways. And I think we're going to share some things that we've done in order to take different franchisees but still make them relevant in social media. One last point is you could take one franchisee that lives on social media, that thrives on it, and someone else that doesn't, but both of those have to have an involvement in the community and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so for some, we hold their hands a little more, and others, we guide them. But to just say, I don't do it, is a lost formula.
Yeah. Not much of an option these days to say, I'm just not good at social media. How about that? You
right.
can't do that anymore. Well, we will get deeper into that topic at the Franchise Marketing Leadership Conference in Atlanta. Also on our panel will be Rachel Davis from American Family Care, and we'll have lots more information in the coming weeks about that event. One quick note, this portion of Social Geek Radio is brought to you by the Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Matt Friedman from WingZone, in the couple minutes we have left, let's talk about where people can learn more about your brand and your story. Where can we send people to connect with you?
Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. It's a great way to connect with people personally and just answer a quick question. So I'm. You can find me at Matthew Friedman on LinkedIn, or just type in WingZone. And then obviously, most people find out about franchise opportunities or WingZone at WingZoneFranchise.com. And there's a wealth of information there about store design, menu, overall investment, and territories available. So I'm an active owner. I'm part of our key leadership team, and I still have a great relationship with each and every one of our franchisees. And so if someone's interested, they'll get a chance to meet with me and hear some of my passions for this business.
Excellent. We'll have links to all of those places on socialgeekradio.com so you can connect with Matt easily. And Matt, we'll see you very soon in Atlanta. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Jack. And hello to all the listeners.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And thanks for listening. Good night.